16. We'll look at verses 1 through 3. It says, "Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went into her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they compassed him and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him." Verse number 3, "And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and with two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron." Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord, as we look at this, there's some important lessons in here tonight. Help us to understand, Lord, the important truths of your word. Lord, this chapter could have been something special. Samson delivering the Philistines and delivering the Israel from the Philistines. But instead, we see him struggling again. Help us always be on guard. Help us to understand, even if we're doing well, we are susceptible to sin. And Lord, we need to put our guard up. We need to put our thinking caps on to make sure that we're not in places we shouldn't be. Lord, I pray that you teach us some important things about your mercy tonight, about your power, but also about the devastation of sin. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So last time we were here in chapter number 15, we came to this spot at the end where we see Samson kind of taking a little turn. For the first time in his life, at least that I can see, that he cries out to God in a humble spirit and says, "God, you've done this." All the other times it's been about him, and all the other times it's been about, you know, what I've done and my own selfish pride and this and that. Samson, at the end of chapter number 15, we remember that verse in number 18, he says, "And he was sore athirst, and he called on the Lord and said, thou hast given this great deliverance." The verse before that, it was about what he had done, about slaying the thousand in verse number 16. Verse number 18 says, "Thou hast given a great deliverance into the hand of thy servant." He calls himself the servant of God. And then he asked God that he would be spared for the fact of these uncircumcised Philistines. I come to this last chapter in verse number 16 that gives the description about Samson and what happened at the ends of Samson's life. And to be honest with you, I'm sorrowful as I read it. I come to the spot realizing that the potential that Samson had and the ability that God allowed Samson to have and the opportunity that Samson had that God had called him to do. And what does he do? He wastes it. He never, ever grasped and got a hold of what God could have done with a surrendered life. In a couple weeks, you're going to see at the end of the chapter, he kills more Philistines in his death than he did in all the times he was alive combined. So what do you get? He finally let God use him, but it ended up costing him his life. And I want you to see here in this story that I'm sorrowful because in this story, in chapter number 16, you could have seen, God would have allowed him to have great big victories, great winnings, great deliverance from the people of Philistines. But he doesn't. Instead, we see him struggling again. Chapter 16, instead of being a joyous, triumphant, as he leaves and departs this world and goes up to heaven, instead we see his weaknesses. We see his wickedness. We see his destruction. But also we see his potential. Just imagine what God could have done with this man. Just imagine what chapter 16 could have been like. Because at the end of verse number chapter 15, it says he judged in the days of the Philistines 20 years. He judged him 20 years. 20 years of stability. 20 years of doing right. And after a place and time of peace and steadfast service, Samson once again falls again into his old ways. His passions rise up to the surface. Samson again finds himself entangled in the web of sin. And to me, this is sorrowful. This is sad. This is something that some people could read and weep over thinking, God could have used this person. God could have used this man. God gave them this opportunity. He was strong physically. The feat that he did with God's help in verse number 3, that was carrying probably over 1,000 pounds easy for over 40 miles uphill. Nothing ever has been done like that. I was reading, I looked at some different feats that people had about them picking up 3,000 pounds or even 6,000 pounds. Even one guy, I don't know, have any idea why, he had a cannonball shot right at his chest and it was really nearby. I don't know if you've ever seen that before, but I mean, feats of strength, but no man could carry a 1,000 pounds uphill, 35 to 40 miles. I mean, just amazing what God enabled this man to do. But it's, to me, it's sad because you see in this chapter, instead of being about he delivers Israel, instead it's about he slips up again. This passage should be a great passage, should be a reminder how sin has a hold over us. A reminder that we will never truly defeat sin completely and totally until we're in heaven. I know I'm looking forward to that day. The day that, yes, we don't have to deal with sin anymore. I know that no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, getting to see Jesus, all those things are wonderful. But not having to deal with this fleshly nature would be something that would be an amazing thing. But it's always here in this world. The depths of our fallen natures is reminded right here in this passage of Scripture. This is a reminder why we must always be vigilant, always aware of the sin's presence and the sin's power in our lives. It's a reminder that even just at a moment of weakness, we can fall back into an old sinful habit that had been long dead. For 20 years, he seemed to be doing well. Now he slips back. And I want to encourage you, as we come off a Bible conference and we make decisions, and maybe we've been doing really well, maybe we've been doing really good, maybe we've made decisions and we've read our Bible more, we've prayed more. But I tell you that we got to be careful, because even after 20 years of faithful service, we can still slip. Even with us that maybe have been in a service and in a good church and living for God for year after year after year and had victory, we can still have the effects of sin if we allow it. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us to be sober, vigilant. He tells us to be aware of our adversary, the devil, because he's like a roaring lion. You say, that's just Bible words, just trying to scare us. The reality is, sin is something that hurts us and affects us. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 4:27, never give place to the devil. Samson's life could have been special. Samson's last chapter could have been completely different than what it was today. But it's not. I want you to understand that in our lives, when we look fast forward ahead, what will the last chapter of our lives be? I know many of us are not expecting to head off into eternity anytime soon. That would be kind of morbid. Sometimes I feel like it, but that's not going to happen unless the Lord allows it to happen. But we see here what happened in Samson's life. Satan only needs an inch in order for him to become a ruler. And we see here in verse number 1, Samson does something stupid. Samson's defilement is the point number 1 in verse number 1. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in unto her. So there's three things I want you to see here. It's a defiled location, it is a defiled look, and a defiling woman. Samson's defilement here comes because of three different things. The first thing is, it's a defiled location. Samson went somewhere where he shouldn't have been. Samson went somewhere where he should not have been. Why did he need to go to Gaza? It says that he went to Gaza. Gaza was a Philistine city located near the Mediterranean Sea. It was situated on the main road that allowed travel between Egypt, Babylon, and Assyria. It was a commercial and military crossroads. The name Gaza actually means strength, and it was a Philistine stronghold. It was a place known for wickedness, a place known for idolatry. It was no place for the man of God. And it doesn't matter where we spend our time at. If we constantly surround ourselves by sin, you know what's going to happen? What happened to him? If we constantly are in the place where we will be tempted, we are setting ourselves up for a fall. And we need to be careful about this. And this is verse number 1. These three things are what we're going to spend the most time on tonight, because it's the one that teaches us the truth, how to stay out of the sin, how to not fall, not to struggle again, gives us helpful hints. But if we consistently find ourselves in places that we're surrounded by sins, versus consistently in places where we are tempted by sins, you know what we're going to happen? Same thing that's going to happen with Samson. If we make decisions to want to live for God, and even if we're doing well, if we put ourselves in bad places, in bad spots, we're going to end up falling. What does the Bible say about it? Enter in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 through 15. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. You know, you read this and you say, Pastor, you're just being hard. You're just being tough. You're just, no, this is the word of God. Enter not into the path of the sin of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. And it doesn't just say, try to stay away from it. It goes as far as saying, avoid it. It says, pass not by it, which means go completely away from it. Turn from it. Pass away. If you struggle with alcohol, you should stay away from liquor stores and places that sell beer, bars. If you're a drug addict, you should avoid places that have such things. But not just that, but think about us that maybe have problems with the things we look at. We should put up safeguards on our TV or the internet. We should maybe just avoid it and pass not by it. If you have a problem with gossip, you shouldn't be around people who like to talk on the phone gossiping. Why? We should just avoid it, pass by it. It doesn't, for you, it might be one thing, for me, it might be another, but the principle is clear here. Some people will question our refusal to go and do things, and we let things be out of our lives, like, I'm not going to go do that, I'm not going to watch that, I'm not going to hear that. That might be for you, that might be your liberty, your grace, but for me, I know myself, I know my struggles, I know the fleshly attacks that I have, and if this is an area that I know I might struggle at, I'm going to stay far away from it. And like I said, some people might be able to handle certain things without being a problem or issue, but we need to be careful that we set up safeguards and make sure that we're not harming our testimony either. You think about Lot. 2 Peter 2:8, the Bible says, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Lot had placed himself and his family directly in the crosshairs of sin. And by moving to Sodom, he paid a terribly high price. Why? Because he went to the wrong location first. This would have not happened if he had not been there. If Samson had been amongst his people, you say there's no bad people amongst his people? Yes, of course there's some bad people amongst his people. I mean, there was no harlots or prostitutes among their people? We have no idea knowing that, but probably there was. But if he had been around the right people and in the right spot, you know what would have happened? This would not have happened. The Bible even says, and it's one of my favorite verses, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. We need to look to God and ask God to help us to be prudent. Foreseeing how something could be dangerous, foreseeing how something could cause an adverse effect in our spiritual lives, and hide ourselves. Which is referring to get away from it, avoiding it, pass not. He had no business being in Gaza. None. And the reason why this chapter 16 isn't filled with victories and triumphs and the deliverance of Israel is because this man chose to go to a defiled location. As we read chapter 16, continue on in verse number 1, it says, he went to Gaza, then he says, and saw there a harlot. A defiled place, location, you know what's going to happen? More than likely, there's going to be a defiled look. He did not go to Gaza to find a prophet. He did not go to Gaza to find a priest. He did not go to Gaza to worship God. He did not go to Gaza to defend Israel. What did he see at Gaza? He saw a harlot. Samson has always had eye trouble. Samson, when he looked at that woman earlier, wanted to be his wife. Seems like he still does. He casts a gaze on wrong things. That's why it's important that we guard our eye gates. We will allow things into our minds that will cause us to be tempted. It's even possible that we are defiled by the things we see. You say, Pastor, that's just too much. What does it say in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28? But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And that's what Jesus says. We go back to what Brother Barnhouse is trying to say. Let's find out what Christ thinks about things. And if that's the way he thinks about things, then we are. It's a defiled look. In the Bible, men like Samson, other men like David and Solomon and Judah, were all led off into things because they looked at the wrong things. We must take steps to guard our eyes. See, it's not victories here. The chapter isn't great. The chapter isn't, man, Samson finished well, like maybe Joshua did, or like some of the other people we see triumph towards the end. But instead, Samson has this foul look, and he takes down those safeguards. He leaves his house and travels to the place where he knows he can find wickedness and he can see wickedness. He's around the areas that he knows if he wants to, he can have a cast look. When it's talking about the strange woman, it talks about the young man that passes by her way. There's no reason for him to be there. There's no reason for Samson to be here. And because Samson's in the wrong place, Samson has a defiled look. The Bible talks much about this. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. The Bible says in Job, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Proverbs 4 verses 25 through 27 says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not unto the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy feet from evil. Wrong images let through our eyes will find their ways to our heart. I don't know about you, but there's some things I looked at over the years before I was trying to live for God. Those images are things I wish I could get rid of. They're still there. And it's important to understand a defiled location is going to bring a defiled look. And then you see a defiling woman here. He says he went in unto her. And we know that this is referring to a sexual relationship. Samson's sin was not an accident. He was not merely a man overtaken by a snare of the devil. It wasn't a trap. It wasn't something that just came across his view. And it wasn't something that was just, well, the woman was accidentally there. No, he went to the wrong place. He looked at the wrong thing. And this is where sin came about. Samson is his own worst enemy. He's contributed to his own fall. Some people might say it's God's fault. God made a man like that because man has these desires. God should have just never done that. Some might say it's the devil's fault because the devil that turns around and he's such a trickster. He does so many things that cause you to learn. But we see here in this story that the Bible is teaching us that Samson was in the wrong place, looking at the wrong things. And this is Samson's fault. The Bible says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You know, he's drawn away. He's in Gaza looking for something, and then he's enticed by what he sees. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Samson got into trouble because he became overconfident. He didn't set up those safeguards. He thought he could handle the pull of the flesh. And I'm honest with you, there is many times where we think we can handle watching certain things, having certain types of attitudes, telling a little bit of gossip, maybe looking at certain things on the website, maybe going to certain places. Samson did not have the victorious Christian life he could have because of verse number one. He was at the wrong place, looking at the wrong thing with the wrong people. Let's not overlook Samson's sin because he allowed himself to be with this way. The Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. He's not around a godly lady in Israel that wouldn't let Samson in unto her. He's at a place where this woman was allowing men to abuse her body. The Bible says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. We can blame no one but ourselves when we set ourselves up to sin. Some people go so far away from God that they don't even have to be tempted anymore. The opportunity just has to be available. And that's what happens in Samson's life. And that's what we see happen many times in Christian's life. You say, Pastor, I'm not going to go to a prostitute. I'm not going to have an affair. I'm not going to do this. I understand that. But let's make it personal in our own home, in our own life. Let's make it to where we say, I'm not going to be a gossip. You know, we got to stay away from that. I'm not going to stop reading my Bible. You know what? The opportunities can present themselves to stop us from reading our Bible and from praying. You say, Pastor, this is completely different than Samson. No. If we're in the wrong spot and we're at the wrong place with the wrong people, even the things that we would not consider big sins are things that can happen. We got to put up safeguards. You know, whether it be attitudes or whether it be a lack of soul winning or whether it be a lack of giving or a lack of faithfulness. You know, if we're in the wrong spot or with the wrong people, like it talks about in Psalms chapter 1 that we heard about in Sunday school this past week. What we do and whom we congregate with has a lot to do on how our lives will turn out. Could you imagine what amazing feats Samson could have done with God's power? If he can take gates and he can take poles right out of the ground and carry them 40 miles, imagine what God could have used this man for. And in our own lives, imagine what God could do with us if we would just allow him. So we see the defilement of Samson. The second thing I want you to see here is Samson's discovery. Samson discovers something. In verse number 2, I think he's surprised by this. You can read it how you might think, but I think Samson gets up at midnight. I think Samson thinks he can go in, he can slip into Gaza, have a little bit of fun, and slip back out and nobody even notice. So I think he enters into this harlot, and then he goes and he leaves at midnight because he doesn't think anybody's going to be around. And under the cloak of darkness, he can just leave. But when he goes up to the gate is locked. He can't get out. The people, he doesn't know this, to my knowledge, the people are sitting there and they're waiting. He's upset because someone locked the gate. And maybe when he was locked the gate, it might have clued into him that they're going to attack me, so I need to do something. At that point in time, I don't know how he does it, but it says, and it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither, and they come past him and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. Now, when I read this verse, I see some interesting things in here that kind of like the way sin works. The Philistines were setting him up for a fall, and I think you can see some discovery here that Samson finds out, and Samson's able to take the gate and be delivered. But there's some different parallels here I'd like you to look at for when it comes to sin and how sin works. First thing I want you to see is something about sin surrounding work. The Bible says the Philistines come past him. That means come past him in. That means that his enemies surrounded him. They laid a trap for him. This is the way sin works also. Some people criticize Christianity and say it's too restrictive. They complain that the way of God has no fun, but it leaves no freedom, no wiggle rooms. What the critics fail to see is that the way of God is a life according to the word of God is really true freedom. Sin is something that will surround you and it will hold you captive. I don't think Samson, without God's help, could have ever gotten over this lusting. I mean, once he tasted that forbidden fruit of those sexual desires, you know what happens? It wants a greater one. It wants greater and greater and greater. We need God's help to be able to stop that. Samson here is, in a sense, under bondage to the sin, and he is giving up his 20 years of service to go looking around for one night, a few hours, a fling. Why is that? Because sin has a hard, hard bond on people. True freedom, such as forgiveness. True freedom is such as laying your head at night on the pillow without any type of regrets, without any type of conscience bearing against you, without any type of remorse. That is true freedom. And how do you get that? By giving it all over to God. Sin is the one that surrounds us and encompasses us and causes us to have heartache. Something also about sin is their steady work. The Philistines said that they would lay wait for him all night. They were willing to be patient. They were patient as they waited for him to leave the harlot's house. They were not in no hurry because time was on their side. But think about it, Satan is also, and sin is also patient in the way it works. It will play its cards close to the vest until the sinner hopelessly is entangled in his web and the sinner doesn't feels like it's trapped and it's closing in around them and that they have to live this life of pleasure. No drunkard began drinking saying, I'm hoping to be a drunkard someday, controlled by the alcohol, drunk driving, losing my family. No, it's willing to be patient. It's willing to take you in the traps of sin and says, you know what? I'm going to keep on squeezing and squeezing until I have you. It's willing to be patient. And then someday you'll become victim of the sin. Also, think about sin's silent work. The Bible says that they were quiet all the night. And think about it. Samson did not know they were there. Samson did not know they were lying in wait. Such is the subtle nature of sin. It does not tell us the truth. It leads the sinner to believe that they can have pleasure with no consequences. It advertises and tells them that there's only but fun. But when it comes to unwanted pregnancies or bankruptcy because of gambling, or as we mentioned, alcohol addictions and drug addictions, they don't show you that at the beginning. It's subtle. And it's going to cause you to fall just like Samson. I know we use these things such as, you know, fornication and adultery. We use things such as alcohol and drugs and gambling, things that probably none of us, or at least not most of us, would consider or struggle with. But at the same time, there are sins in our life of a Christian like unforgiveness and bitterness and anger and gossip and unfaithfulness that can also cause up, and it's a silent work. How many Christians have become so hard and so bitter, they're not even at church? They only have a bad taste in their mouth because of church, because what someone else did. It's sin's silent work. They think that they can nurse and hold on to that. That besetting sin that they think no one else knows about can never hurt them. Samson thought he could have his fun. No one ever know. But instead, you see what happens. Next thing, I want you to see sin slaying work. Look what it says at the end. It says, when it is day, we shall kill him. You know, death is the plan for Samson here. Death is what the Philistines had planned and purposed. And the same thing as sin. Death is the end of sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. There is no escape from a place called hell. There is no escape but by the grace of God. We'll discover that there's many things about us, but sin will kill joy, it will kill peace, it will kill relationships, it will kill marriages, it will kill hope, it will kill churches, it will kill human spirit. Sin is a killer. You know, but the amazing thing is that we can have victory through Jesus Christ. The awesome thing here, you see the story, is Samson left and Samson struggled. And I want to get, you say, Pastor, are you trying to get at, our chapter doesn't have to end like this. Our lives in our last chapter, this next 5 years of our lives, doesn't have to be like this. Third thing is Samson's deliverance. Two things here, I'll be finished. First of all, you look in verse number three, you listen to this. And Samson lay till midnight. Why did he do that? Maybe because it was dark. Maybe he thought people were asleep. And he arose at midnight. It's amazing if you do a Bible study about all the things that happen at midnight. It's kind of interesting. And took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all. And he put them upon his shoulders and carried them up the top of a hill that is before the Hebron. Now, when we think of a gate, many times people think of this small gate that you can look over and you have a little latch that you open and close and probably weighs, depending on what type of material, somewhere between 20 and 50 pounds. Carrying something 40 miles uphill, even if it's 50 pounds, would be impressive. But we're talking about a Gaza, a stronghold in the Philistines. We're talking about the gate that would open and close to protect the city. We're talking about the gate that they would bring probably chariots and horses through. So we're looking at a very large gate that is very tall because many of those cities back there was great and walled. And he is saying that he picked up the city's gates and the posts, pulled it out of the ground, and he carried it 35 to 40 miles. A couple of things here I want you to see about Samson's deliverance. You see God's power. You look at God's power here and you see what God can do with his physical strength. God can do the same type of power with our spiritual lives. God can give us victory over sin. God can, once again, he set himself up wrong because he's in the wrong place looking at the wrong thing around the wrong people. If we'll give ourselves over to God and God completely, like it says in Romans chapter 6, we can have victory. We can have, we're not servants of sin. We can be servants of righteousness. We do not have to be a servant of sin. We don't have to do that. But when we're sitting in the wrong spot, looking at the wrong thing, around the wrong people, you know what's going to happen? Sin's going to happen. Samson's deliverance was by God's power. And I am thankful by God's power we can have deliverance from sin. We do not have to be servants of sin. You go and read Romans chapter 6. Some of you, I know, learned it and can quote Romans chapter 6. And I think that's wonderful. But it says we can have, with God's help, power. Next thing I want you to think about is God's grace or God's mercy. Samson's deliverance was the grace of God in action in Samson's life. In all reality, Samson deserved to be caught by his enemies. In all reality, Samson deserved to see what happened to him, what's going to happen later on the chapter. He's the one that kept on messing with sin. He's the one that went to the wrong place, looked at the wrong thing, and was around the wrong people, and went and did the wrong thing. But God was merciful to him. Praise the Lord for God's mercy. You think about it. If it was me or you and we were God, you know, we wouldn't even need chapter 16, would we? We wouldn't even need chapter 15. We would have been tired with Samson with his when he went into the Timoth and saw that woman, when he was touching the lion and touching the honey, and when he was playing with his riddle and all, we would have just said, forget it, let's find somebody else. There's still hope for us. The chapter's not written on us. Let's remember this. Let's learn from, you know what? I am susceptible to sin. Because of my fleshly nature, I can fall. There are things I need to make sure I'm not in the wrong spot, looking at the wrong things, being around the wrong people, partaking in sin, because sin leads me to next verses when he talks about Delilah. He's so overwhelmed that he's willing to give this woman, even though the woman, I think it was four different times, said, tell me where it's at. And then he says, if you do this, I'll lose my strength. And he still did it again. And then he did it again. And then he did it again. And the sad verse in the Bible says he wist not that the Lord's Spirit wasn't with him. He didn't even realize that God's Spirit wasn't with him anymore. It's because his heart had gotten so cold to God's leading. His heart had gotten so cold to God's leadership and God's moving in his life that he can just simply go to God's and think that sin won't hurt him. Sin will hurt you and sin will affect you. Say, Pastor, you spent more time in Samson than you did on and then the other ones like Gideon. Most of us would relate more with Samson than Gideon because there are things in our lives that we struggle with just like him. Most of us would relate with than some of the other judges. Why? Because of the fact that our lives mirror that sometimes. So as you leave, think about these things. Chapter 16 here. You think about what happened to Samson. It's sad. Think about what could happen. Then consider your life. Think about what's happening right now. Then think about God's power and God's mercy and what could be happening in your life. Think about if you will learn the lesson that Samson had to learn by committing, in a sense, suicide at that place. If he could have learned that earlier, how much different would it have been for his life? How much different could it be for our lives if we could learn it earlier? Let's go back to decisions we might have made this past week. Might be doing good, might be doing strong. Don't be coming overconfident and say, well, I can go to that place. I can look at this, and I can be around this person. Be careful. The Bible tells us to guard our heart. The Bible tells us with all diligence. Why? Because out of it are the issues of life. And so when I read this story, I'm like, why couldn't Samson got it? And why couldn't it have been cool stories like him slaying 1,000 or him taking on so many men and God redeeming, like Gideon. I mean, Gideon's awesome. Gideon's story was awesome. I know Gideon messed up towards the end. But think about it. Gideon's story was awesome. God got the glory out of it. Everybody praised him. It just didn't happen. And let's make sure our chapter's a little bit different. Samson starts struggling again. So, Pastor, how do I not struggle? Guard your heart. Don't go to the places you know you might be tempted to. Say, Pastor, you're just telling me that because you want to control my life. I don't have any interest in controlling your life. I want you to be God-controlled. I have a hard enough time with my own life. I want you to be Spirit-controlled, Spirit-led, right? And then be careful what you're looking at. Be careful who you're amongst. Be careful what you're taking part of. Samson said, I can handle this. There's many Christians say, I can handle a little bit of this. Samson fell. Same thing will happen to us if we're not careful. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.